Chapter 3. The school's grounds were almost deserted, but there was still a guard in the lobby of the administration building. On the fourth floor, Frances' office door was still open, but she was not inside. Nicole listened.
Ah!
She tapped on the door with a man called Henry. He and Franks were talking quietly inside. They looked up at the noise.
I'm back,
she said politely with a small bow.
Can we still wrap things up today, ma'am? I'd like to start my classes as soon as possible.
She watched them fail to conceal their surprise. Frank stood.
Of course, Miss Clark.
She waved at the door.
After you.
As Nicole walked out, Franks looked for just an instant at Henry. He nodded imperceptibly. Only a few moments ago, they'd been hearing the rumor over the radio about some young madwoman atop the 405 bridge. Nicole quickly seated herself. Franks did likewise.
So, where were we? She asked.
You were expressing your surprise that I have no bachelor's degree. Franks clenched tightly the pen in her hand. What had loomed so large this morning seemed so stupid now.
If the director of the college has pre-approved you, it's nothing to worry about, she said briskly. Let's take a look at the classes you'll be taking.
Nicole walked out of the Student Union admin building with an armful of files stuffed with papers, most of them handwritten. Intermittent electricity meant doing things the old-fashioned way. With a glance toward the lengthening shadows of evening, she slightly quickened her pace as she headed home, in light of what Mrs. Franks had said as she was leaving.
I don't know if anyone has told you, but because of all that's happened today, there's going to be a strict citywide curfew for the next few days, she'd said to Nicole. Unless they're militia or law enforcement, everyone will be arrested after nightfall.
But why? Nicole was puzzled. Didn't the mob from the north and the mounted raiders from the southeast turn back? Patricia Frank sighed. Must be nice to live in peace and ignorance.
You know for a fact that every last one of them was turned back? Or is a group of six of them keeping to the alleys and five blocks from here right now?
Nicole saw her point and nodded. The lights were just beginning to flicker on as she caught sight of Stratford House. Mrs. Franks had been correct. By now there was almost no one out except her. Her hand was on the door to enter when a voice spoke into her left ear.
Is everything all right, Miss Clark? Lieutenant Gaeta asked her.
She'd not forgotten about the radio. It simply had not loomed large in her mind. She quickly understood the odd look she'd been receiving from Henry and Mrs. Franks earlier. She made a mental note to consider her appearance more often. She let her hand fall from the door as she moved away a few steps.
I'm fine, she replied. Thank you for your concern. Is the ship well?
Of course.
The digital encryption made his cough sound like a bark.
In the coming days, the captain will be having a delicate time enlightening the political authorities both locally and home as to what happened here.
The ramifications opened in her mind like a mosaic.
Oh, dear.
Please tell the captain that I will take full responsibility and present myself to the city's mayor tomorrow morning.
We expected you to say that, he said, cutting her off.
And we know that this is not what you nor she wants with this journey of ours.
They were both silent for a moment.
The captain says for you to do your best. If we need to speak again, we shall try the radio. If there is no reply, we'll send a runner.
That odd cough bark again.
Good evening, Miss Clark.
She remained still as the myriad ways of the future unfolded in her mind. It was nearly dark now, and she should be inside.
But for such a day, for her and everyone else, to end in such a banal fashion.
Part of the darkness just below her moved. She was instantly in a self-defense stance. A quiet, uncertain voice. Female. Nicole didn't move.
Come into the light, now.
Big Sister Caroline had taught her to use over and undertones in her voice to
help humans make up their minds.
The mousy young woman from across the hall this morning stumbled up a few steps. She stood blinking under the porch light. Nicole relaxed, slightly.
Welcome home, dorm friend, Nicole smiled broadly. It's late and dark. Let's go up to our floor together, okay?
The other didn't move, so she gently took her right hand with hers. The mousy girl's hand was shaking.
I'm Nicole. I am very young in your home.
She glanced at the books the other clutched with her left arm.
Would you please be my dorm big sister and help me? There is so much I don't understand.
Friend?
It was her first word to Nicole, and a very good one.
Yes, you're my first girlfriend here. What's your name?
The other finally lifted her head enough to make eye contact.
Mackenzie.
Nicole suppressed a sigh. She thought for a moment to put her arm about her, but realized the girl's brain might explode.
Hasten slowly. I'm so happy to make another friend, she said with a smile and a small bow. Let's hurry inside.
She held the door for Mackenzie, who dropped her head and shuffled in. Yet another young man was at the desk. How often do they change shifts? If there was a sign-up sheet, I want to try too. He seemed too busy with schoolwork to notice them, so they made their way to the stairs.
Badges, please, he called sharply.
His pencil was still in his hand, but his eyes were fixed on them. Nicole turned and waved. His look somewhat softened. Mackenzie slouched left, then right. He was already back to looking at the papers in front of him.
Are they always so strict? Nicole asked as they plodded up the stairs. Yeah.
That seemed to be that. Nicole readied another question.
Worse with guys, her new friend said softly. If they don't recognize you or you're not a student from Stratford, they'll call in your badge number, just in case. That's not just chivalry, Nicole thought. When males are that protective, and it appears things here are worse than the Ministry of Trade thought when they proposed this mission. They'd use the lowest end guess of Americans dead from the breakup. 8 million. In the 2 days since she arrived, Nicole was beginning to come to the horrible realization that the upper guess, over 100 million, might be more accurate.
They came out of the stairwell into their hallway. Thank you so much for seeing me to my room. Nicole let her left hand just touch the girl's right, who flinched, but didn't draw back.
I know this sounds very forward of me, but may I see your room?
Nicole asked as politely as she could. Her family had told her to try to make friends, and that being friends means knowing more about someone.
Mackenzie was suddenly rooted in the hallway. Room?
That's okay, Nicole waved her hands. Everyone needs time to pick up before a guest comes over. That was silly of me. Mackenzie said something, but Nicole couldn't make out what it was.
I'm sorry? She asked.
Mackenzie shuffled to her door and unlocked it.
I said, please come in.
She went in and flicked on the light. Nicole stepped across the threshold.
Excuse me, I'm coming in.
Mackenzie's room was just like hers, the kitchenette followed by the studio room proper. But even in the kitchen, there were papers taped up everywhere. There was another click as the main light came on. If she knew how to gasp, Nicole would have.
This is my room. Mackenzie muttered, her right hand making a dismissive gesture.
There was art everywhere. Sketches, watercolors, some oils, even markers and highlighters. Taped, pinned across the back of the small couch, all over the floor.
All in such... Amazing, Nicole said. The colors, so many.
Her eyes flicked everywhere as she slowly made her way in. Mackenzie shuffled to a far corner and waited. Quickly making associations, Nicole saw there were several predominant themes, all but one of them joyous and suffused with forms and colors that made them jump to life. The darker few she chose to ignore for now. Life, from the inanimate, was of particular interest to her.
She
picked up a plain piece of paper with no more than 20 bright lines on it, a bird about to land into its nest.
She wished she could cry. Friend Mackenzie! These are so beautiful. It's what I do for fun.
She shook her mousy hair slightly.
School's not fun, but I promise.
She trailed off at that. It was now quite dark outside.
This was enough for a first night.
Nicole took a few steps toward her, raising her hands, but stopped and let them drop slowly. She bowed.
Thank you so much for showing me you. She said with her head down. I am very happy for seeing your home.
She rose and smiled. To her mild surprise, the girl raised her head and met her gaze. She didn't smile, but spoke instead.
May I see your room?
She asked a little clearer. Nicole clapped her hands in front of her. Of course! Let's go! Nicole exited Mackenzie's room, then unlocked her own door and went in, turning on the kitchenette light and the main light. She stopped and turned to see her friend just entering. She looked about carefully, as if afraid to step on or touch something she shouldn't. At the invisible transition between the kitchen and main room, she stopped and blinked.
There's...
Yes?
There's nothing here.
Of course there's something here, Nicole laughed. There's my main bag from my trip, and there on the table is my little bag.
Mackenzie's eyes continued to drift here and there. So that's all you brought? No tablet? No pictures?
She gestured weakly at the area around her.
Nothing?
I'm sorry, friend Mackenzie, Nicole answered honestly, but I do not understand what you're asking.
A sigh. If we took you and your bags out of here, is there any proof you existed?
Nicole was older now.
No,
she agreed quietly. Only in the minds of those I've reached these 2 days. The notion of a physical remnant is new to me. She could plainly see the mousy girl mouthing the word, physical remnant.
I can make her older, too.
It's late. I should go. Mackenzie half turned.
Thank you for showing me your home.
Nicole stood still for some time. She finally shrugged and turned the lights off. Again, with her shirt, skin, plug.
Down to 28% in a single day. The Somi engineers would have had a fit.
But then, they've never saved a town before.
Time passed as it did.
She was aware of the door across the hall opening, the shuffling, the noise under her own door, and friend Mackenzie's door closing again.
All at 0130. How odd.
She unplugged herself and walked to the door. A piece of paper had been slipped beneath it, she assumed by Mackenzie. She flicked on the light.
Oh!
In watercolors, on a simple sheet of paper, she looked at something she almost recognized. Winged Victory of Samothrace was something she had learned about, and the picture she held was a variation of that. The classical clothes remained, but the wings were gone. It was Nicole, high in the air, EM waves out from her headset like wings. The look on her face,
I don't know if I like that look, she thought.
Even so, my friend made a picture of me. My friend made a picture for me. She had no tape or staples, so she set it in her lap while her hands reconnected her life. She took the watercolor back with both hands. It was just before dawn she heard herself mutter,
"Thank you."